Welcome, Evergreen Online. I'm so glad you're here with us this morning as we begin our new sermon series, Family Ties, Conflict, and Covenant, where we'll be looking at the book of 1 Corinthians as a context and lens for our discussion on LGBTQ inclusion, specifically how we will address same-sex weddings here at Evergreen. Now, I know this is such a hot button topic for churches everywhere. And like I said last week, it not only involves the practices of this church, but more importantly, it deeply involves those Evergreeners who identify as LGBTQ. And if that's you, if you are a queer Evergreener with us this morning, I just want to say that we love you and that we're so glad you're here, especially on this journey with us. Now, at this point in our 11-year conversation, we've already committed to providing a place for this special part of our church community to fellowship, heal, and worship. And I want to remind all of us that what we're grappling with here is actually just the last big question of our journey of how this historic church will respond to wedding requests, whether or not our pastoral staff will perform wedding ceremonies on or off church campus in presumably a post-pandemic future where those types of celebrations are actually safe to attend anyway. So we're going to go on a journey together, a journey of learning together, of listening together, and of prayer and discernment together. You can find out more about this entire process that I laid out in last week's sermon or on our website. Now, one of the special additional learning opportunities that I want to make you aware of is coming up this Saturday on June 6th, where Pastor Bill White, a friend of mine from City Church Long Beach, will be having a fascinating seminar over Zoom just for Evergreen. It's called Side by Side and explores the topic of sexuality and scripture from both progressive and conservative viewpoints. This is a great opportunity, so be sure you sign up. Information about that will be available on our website, on our social media, and through our weekly emails. Please continue to check all of our communication for more resources on this journey and how you can engage more deeply. Here at Evergreen, our vision is to be a home for the new humanity, which comes from Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul talks about the family of God. And as I've said before, it's that vision that directs us, even in this topic. God is making a home out of all of us so that he can reside here in our hearts. And he's taken some very different people, even people that have historically been divided, and he's creating one new humanity out of that. We believe one of the ways that he's doing that here is through the blending and integration of straight and queer Evergreeners. So the question is, how do we address this topic of same-sex weddings as a family? And how do we grapple with one of the most, if not the most, divisive topics in church history, but grapple with it as a family? Well, a family often sticks together, and it sticks together because of their blood tie. Now, you may have quarrels or disagreements with family, but the thing that keeps you together, in most cases at least, is the fact that you share common genetic ancestry, that the other person is actually related to you. You know that there's something that supersedes the particular disagreement you're having, that ultimately it means more than whatever you're fighting about. Now, God's family has that too, that overarching thing, that common tie. But our family bond is actually the cross. More specifically, what Jesus does for us through his death and resurrection. That and that alone is what allows us to be connected and to call each other brother and sister in Christ. This is what Paul is trying to communicate when he writes to the Corinthian church. Now, the Corinthian church is this community full of all sorts of division and conflict and sin. There are divisions in class and status. There's divisions in theology and leaders. There's incest and temple prostitution. There's arguments about eating pagan sacrifices. There's different styles of worship. This church, it's really just a mess. And in all these areas that Paul addresses in his letter, the people have these different opinions and convictions about how to live their life and what it actually meant to be Christian. And Paul writes to them, letting them know what the central foundation of their faith is in the midst of all of these differences. In chapter 15, he says, I remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. Now, in a church where there are all these different ideas of what it means to worship or lead or have sexual integrity, Paul reminds them that this gospel is their one foundation. If they're to have a stance on anything, let it be this. Because if this gospel and the risen Christ that it proclaims is untrue, then everyone's faith is useless. This is what it means, really, to be a Christian. It means that the good news of Jesus Christ is about, well, it's about Jesus Christ and the salvation that God offers all of us through faith in Him. You know, when people come to faith, there isn't like a long list of requirements or questions that we give that person. There isn't a bunch of prerequisite beliefs that they need to follow before they follow Christ. Their belief is singular. The faith is singular. Christ and Christ alone. Now you may be thinking, okay, that's nothing new, sure. But that statement, taken seriously, should shake you to your core, that there's really only one unifying factor. And that's what Paul is acknowledging in his letter. Here's a church that is divided over leadership, over teaching, over the lawsuits, and their all the kind of behaviors that are going on in this church body. And Paul addresses them still as holy people, together with every other follower of Christ. He acknowledges that they're connected still to the worldwide church. And I would have kicked them out of the denomination. I would have cut fellowship with them because of everything that was happening. But Paul can still see them as part of the family, even as they are engaged in all of this gunk. He knows that the foundation that every Christian and every church stand on is the family of God in Jesus Christ. And even as his letter wants them to change their behavior in some of these areas, he still recognizes that they have these bonds in Jesus Christ. This is what I believe God has been impressing upon me, that our church must embrace this same firm foundation if we are to move ahead, thriving as an inclusive community of diverse sexual orientation and diverse theological views on marriage. We are the family of God, and even if there's a disagreement within the family, there's this overarching unifier in the cross of Christ that reminds us that we're all sinners and we're all forgiven by His grace. There are some at Evergreen who are supportive of same-sex weddings. They believe that our LGBTQ Evergreeners should have identical opportunities to get married here as our straight Evergreeners do, and that they believe that their faith and interpretation of Scripture leads them to this conviction. There are also some at Evergreen who are concerned about Evergreen's involvement with same-sex weddings. They believe that the Scriptures, while calling us to love everyone, do not support same-sex weddings as being blessed by God. This is the reality of our community and the congregation that God has entrusted to me. And so I believe that our vision directs us to encompass both sides of this issue and everyone in between. What does that look like? It looks like a truly blended community where we value the different convictions and diversity of all of us on this issue. It means that while we are called to love everyone here, you don't actually have to agree with everyone here. And as long as you're okay living in a community and loving people on the other side, you actually don't have to go against your convictions here. What does this kind of diverse and inclusive culture mean for how we do weddings? Well, on this issue, we have a theologically diverse ministry staff with differing convictions. And I envision that the pastoral staff would have the ability to act out of conscience, having the liberty to choose whether or not to officiate a same-sex wedding request based upon their own theological and biblical beliefs. This allows our pastors to practice a historic Baptist distinctive, soul freedom, where an individual Christian has the obligation and ability to interpret Scripture under the guidance of the Holy Spirit within the community of faith. I'm sure at this point you have a lot of questions. That's normal. If you don't have questions, it's probably because you're asleep on the couch right now. But instead of trying to answer all of them, which is just impossible for me to do, I just want to invite you along on the journey. I think all those things that you're thinking about right now, those will all get worked out somewhere along the way. For now, all you need to know is that this church family loves each other and that our faith in the gospel is our common ground. And as Paul said, this is where we've taken our stand. So as we start this journey, I want to start where Paul starts, at the foundation of our faith, the cross of Christ. Because if you don't get how this is what actually ties us together as a family, you're not going to get the rest of the journey. And in my opinion, you won't get who the church is actually supposed to be. It's here that all of our sins are nailed to the cross with Jesus. It's also here that his shed blood makes us followers into family. When we gather around the cross and we look our sister or brother in the eye, there is a recognition that happens that neither of us deserves to be there, but each of us needs to be there. We also realize that the cross is not really a happy place. It's a place of death. And by starting this journey at the cross, we begin by dying. You see, this whole process is a process of discipleship. And to be a disciple or a follower of Jesus, each of us must die to self. It's painful and humbling and can even be scary. But that's what faith is, right? It's taking a step out on the water and trusting in the one who calls you. We have to surrender all. Give up who we are, what we want, and even in some ways, maybe what we believe. The cross of Christ asks all who would pick it up to die. And in doing so, it gives a promise. Promise of a new life, of a new world, and of a new humanity.